Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday evening. It is March 7th, 2023. PGN, this is Deborah with you here tonight. God bless you. Evening blessings and evening offerings of faith, and assurance of the Holy Spirit upon our lives this evening. So praise God. Excuse me. Let's just let the Lord, I know we're starting a little bit early. I think I'm on track with Central Time, 6:30 Central Time, just starting a half hour early. It's not to bump into our beloved Randy Chandler's program that starts at 9 o'clock Central Time. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Well, I do have a testimony to share. I was, my books were kind of barricaded in the garage, and I needed the hubs to help me move some things, which did not get done. But in the meantime, the Lord was showing me some stuff. So I was pondering, and I'm going to share this testimony and then probably have to share bits and pieces of it again throughout the evening. But just because I know the Lord will use it, and I know some people jump on at different times. And so then we just interject as we go along. So thank you for those of you who love me and are patient with me. I love you too. So, and your faithfulness and guidance of the Holy Spirit that you bring your faith to PGN on Tuesday evening is awesome. May the Lord richly, richly bless you with all of his grace, with the richness of his grace in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I just dedicate this evening to you, Lord. We dedicate this time to you, Lord. May you be honored, Lord. We thank you, Father. We do ascribe unto you all honor and glory and majesty as God. We thank you that you hold the excellence of power through the redemption of your blood, Father. And we thank you, Lord, because of that, Lord, we receive the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. And, Lord, that we are made new and made righteous and holy and blameless before you. And you've placed your deposit in us and sealed us and call us your own. And we thank you for the preservation and for preserving and watching our going out and our coming in from furthermore from this day and furthermore, in Jesus' name. Well, so it's interesting, when I was listening last night, they were talking about money, and I was like, this is just so fascinating to me. Even from the beginning of time when I was invited through the invitation to join PGN on Tuesday evening, I do recall the first few weeks I was going to teach on the soul and just talk about some stuff on the soul. And then, Randy had taught about that. And I said, oh no, like that's so wild how it came up. And certainly he has an incredible teaching on that, as having a pastoral background. Anytime he talks on the spirit and the soul and how we process things in the word and through the spirit, there is a greater depth of enlightenment and enrichment than I've really ever heard anyone bring in. I've heard Kim Clement do teaching on the soul. And so that's one area I think Pastor Randy is actually very gifted in communicating in a very practical terms in our own humanity, but yet we're very holy at the same time. It's incredible depth of understanding and a very practical way of imparting that truth. So kudos to him for that. So anyways, and praise God as well. And so I was like, oh, darn, how's that going to happen? So it's interesting how sometimes the same subject, if you will, is on the heart of God, and he brings it forth, you know, maybe for us to look at it in different facets, you know, to hold up that truth And it shines like a diamond, right? And his love is engraved in that. And we hold it up and look at it, different facets of his love and what he shines upon that. And so my heart, and I know I kind of felt like the Holy Spirit places upon my heart even to ponder this, but my thought was I was pondering, what are the effects that my money is having, like when I tithe or give or whatever, I was saying, what are the effects, like what kind of effects are happening with my money? And I just was pondering this thought for a few days and just asking the Lord what that was. What were the effects that my money was having when I give, you know? And like, really, like I want to see it in his word and what it looked like and that. And I really honestly feel like he prompted me, like he even put that pondering thought in my mind so that he could answer it and show it to me. As bizarre as that may sound, I believe that that is true. So I was reading and Deuteronomy again, back in Deuteronomy, just reading through the Bible here with our church and their mapped out plan that they have, which I love it. I enjoy reading the Bible, but this plan that they have is like for a year and a half or 2 years. So much. I just love it. I totally love it. Anyway, so in Deuteronomy 12, okay, I was trying to mark this. I have it written in a couple of places. So we're going to be, it's going to be from Deuteronomy 12 through Deuteronomy 16 or 17 up to the point where they go to Passover, so 16. Okay, so right in through there is where I was reading. But here in Deuteronomy 14, just to encourage everyone, it's saying this. It says, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. That is what the Lord, and yes, he's talking to the Israelites, but every purpose in nature, how he's called them out of Egypt, right? So he's redeemed them from bondage and placed his promise upon them. He's done that for us in the New Testament. And then he calls us his own, right? We're his priesthood now. We're a royal priesthood, seated in heavenly places. So we have so much of that marking of being chosen, if you will, like the Israelites were in a special place, in a special place in the heart of God. Maybe not demographically in our nation, right? We live in a different part of the nation, or maybe you have a heritage of being Jewish in your bloodline. Perhaps you do, and you're still receiving some of those blessings that have been inherited through that promise as well. That could very well be so. But we are chosen to be his treasured possession. And then it also says, let no one, I don't remember where this was. It's saying, let no one hinder you in your relationship with the Lord. Okay, this is important before we go into this whole money thing. But let no one hinder you in your relationship with the Lord. So if you were to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, as it says in the New Testament, but the word strength is added there, probably for us Gentiles. But when the Holy Spirit shows you something or to do something, or even if it's unusual and you've never seen it before, the Lord will bring it to pass. You know, when I first started in ministry, the Lord, I was like, okay, now Lord, what do I do next? And then I was like, how do I start, you know, getting this out there, whatever, you know? And then I was thinking, oh, how I've seen others do this. This was like 12 years ago. How have I seen others do it? And as I was going to begin to implement that, some of those ideas, the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you doing? And I was basically like, oh, well, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I guess I'm just repeating what I've seen has been done, or attempting to see. I didn't really pull the trigger on it. I was just setting things, getting things in order. And the Lord said, yeah, I don't want you to do that. And in my heart, I kind of knew it was like, it felt like marketing to me, like marketing Jesus. And I was uncomfortable with that. But I didn't know. I didn't know the ground, and I was placing it before him. So then he did say, I don't want you to do that. And then I said, okay, but well, there's a lot of other people who are doing that. I mean, there are. I mean, I wasn't meaning like an excuse card or free pass, you know, or anything like that. Just acknowledging. And the Lord said, yeah, there are, but they didn't seek me and ask me how they wanted how. They didn't seek me and ask me how I wanted it done, and you are. And I didn't. And look where that landed me, right here where, you know, a whole word of merchandising was the word that came through here. But to me, it was the Lord was showing, like, in my heart, it was not to market, not to be marketable, like, not make the gospel marketable, whatever, however that is. Okay, so that's just trusting the things that he puts in your heart and that he speaks for you to do, even when you don't understand them and other people aren't doing them, and you're just faithful to hear his voice and obey. Hear his voice and to follow, right? And even, you know, talking to a neighbor. I had a neighbor one time. She was kind of intimidating, if you will, kind of quiet, and she was single woman, I think desiring to be married or remarried. I don't know if she was divorced or not, but she would have different men over her house at different times, like over for dinner. And in this particular area, when we lived in this neighborhood, people would sit in their driveways. I guess this is a southern thing. They sit in their driveways, and it depends on their backyard too, but that's like just their gathering point and the social point. I guess because sometimes the kids play in the street or ride their bikes and do skateboards, whatever. And then it's just kind of like the social gathering. If you don't have a front porch, you kind of sit in your driveway. You know, it was so bizarre to me when I first seen it, but it does happen. So, I had this CD with this one time, and I was getting rid of some stuff, and the Lord told me to give it to this neighbor. I can't remember what her name was, and I said, oh, my gosh, you want me to go down there and give her this? He's like, yeah, I want her to have that. And he was kind of impressing upon me, like, that time was short. Like, there's not a lot of time, and I want you to give her that as a gift. So I was like, okay. So I was trying to think, like, what holiday's coming up? Look, how can I give to this woman with this thing? And I forgot what came up. I forgot what it was that came up. But I did gift her, and I can't remember if I talked to her or put something in a card or what it was, but I gave it to her, and it was shortly after that. I mean, just weeks after that, that she put her house up for sale and she moved. So, you know, she was on the heart of God. You know, she was on God's heart and God's radar, you know, Doppler radar, knowing where she was going next and what needed to be, you know, what seed needed to be planted or watered in her for her next step, you know. So whatever she did with that is between her and God, but just to be faithful to speak and to bring it forth, okay? So we are God's chosen, treasured possession. That's how God views you, is as a treasured possession, okay? And let no one hinder you in your relationship with the Lord. Now, not making stuff up doctrinally out of, you know, going off kilter there, but following him, revering him, serving him, and holding fast to him certainly is your relationship with the Lord that you're accountable for unto him. So I was pondering, as I believe the Holy Spirit's prompted me, to think upon what are the effects that my money is having, like when I tithe or give, what effects are really happening? Now, I know the word in Ephesians, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with the same measure that you give, it'll be measured back to you, right? And that's somewhat of what they were talking about last night in a brilliant way. It was awesome. And, but does that really clarify? Like, is that tangible? That doesn't really necessarily tell me what the effects are. What effects are is the money literally having in the kingdom realm on earth as it is in heaven? Like, what's going on there? I know it frees my heart to be tethered to the Lord, to give him. There's a reverence in that and releasing and being sent, surrendered to him. But then, lo and behold, I was reading in Deuteronomy 12. And it just kind of popped out to me. Now, is this completely, some might say, call it like a half-baked potato or whatever. Yes, it might be. But I'm just going to give you how it came across my path and my understanding. And as the Lord can draw out more, then so be it. But I feel like I decided yesterday or Sunday, Monday or Sunday, that this is what I was going to talk about long before the program started last night. So that's what I thought was interesting, was that they were talking about money. Anyway, so this does kind of correlate. But it says, but you are to, okay, so Deuteronomy 12, 5 and 6. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all of your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. Okay, so when the name of the Lord is on a place, which is the name of the Lord is upon you. You, first and foremost, you are his treasured possession. He has placed his name upon you. Okay, so you are a treasured possession to him, and you carry, you know, the blessings he's giving you, gifts. He's given you all the things that he wants us to give back to him. He's given to us first, okay, to show us that this is indeed his way and his will and his purposes, okay? You are equipped in Hebrews 13. You are equipped with everything that you have need of to serve the Lord. You've already been given these things. Okay. So, but listen to, so the purpose too is twofold, right? Because it's on earth as it is in heaven. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all the tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There, bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and special gifts. What you have vowed to give and your free will offerings and the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, okay, because that was their wealth, was their flocks and their herds. Plus, there were sacrifices, and that was their livelihood. So God increased their livelihood when they gave out of their livelihood. Okay, so all these, is, when it says that you are to the place, we need to find the place in which the Lord, he has placed his name there in order for you to give. Okay, so some principles in this we already know, because it is the church. When you're collected to the church and you tithe to the storehouse, if you will, right? So there's some things that are already written in the word. But he's saying when his place is there, when his name, he's placed his name there. So when the Lord calls you and you're listening to one thing and you kind of maybe faintly hear like, hey, why don't you give $20 or something like that, you know, or to that person in church, you know, that needs food for their family or whatever it might be. And you hear that inner voice, the Lord is placing his name on that. So he's placing his name on that. And when he prompts you in the spirit to give, you should know that your seed, whatever it is that you're giving, is going to be a producing seed, because it's, you're giving it in the place that he's called you and the place that he's named and the place that is a dwelling place, okay? And so the exchange will happen. So all types of gifts can happen. So paying attention to your tithes, your offerings, your special gifts. Okay, let's say your special gift is you're a drummer, right? And so where you go to play the drums and offer that gift is where he places you with his name and calls you over there, you know, and you hear his whisper to give your free will offering, you know, to drum here in this special place, you know, at a special time, a special reason or season. You know, the Lord is in that, and it's blessed when the Lord's name is on it and in that place, okay, in the place that he's named and to give, okay? And then it says, Deuteronomy 12:13. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. So we just can't give offerings anywhere we want to please. And I know these are specific offerings here, and I didn't look up all the specifics and the free will and the burnt and the yada yada. But the principle remains is that we don't just give it anywhere we please to give, right? And again, we know whatever we do to the least of these, we do unto the Lord. But we also, is this the place, Lord, is this the place that you want me to give, that you've called me to give for my money to go and to bless in that place? And sometimes you'll just know right away in your heart that is what you want to do, how you're revering his name and blessing him. Okay, so okay. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I had a couple things here. Okay, so. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me go back because I didn't finish. No, verse 7. I didn't finish talking about what the seed and the money is doing once you place it in the dwelling place. I'm sorry, I marked two different notes with two different subjects, and they're right in collectively almost together. So, but we're just talking about this one tonight. So there in the presence of the Lord your God, so this is what is producing of the money. This is what your money produces when giving of the Lord. That in the presence of the Lord God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you put your hands to do, because the Lord your God has blessed you. And he brings us to a place, to the resting place, and to give us our inheritance. So, and to dwell and to live safely from our enemies. Okay, so you can read that. You can read that too on your own. I'm sorry for the delay. So Deuteronomy 12, we're at 5 through 7 through pretty much 19. Because then in 20 it's saying, then the Lord your God has enlarged your territory he has promised you. So there is an enlargement. There's a process that he's bringing them through out of the bondage into the promised land, and to keep these commands as they're following him and as he's leading them. So they continue, right, to serve and revere his name and to hold him fast. But they're giving, they're making offerings to him because they're rejoicing in him, they're worshiping him, and then they're also literally like tithing and giving special gifts and special offerings and you know, things they vowed to give to the Lord. They're following through with those things, and the Lord is continuing to lead them to their full inheritance as they're rejoicing. And he's saying, be careful not to just give anywhere that you please, but continue to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit where he's placed his name for a dwelling place. And that's where you want to match this is what I was just seeing, what the Lord was showing me, is this matching the finances, the money, to the places that he's called as his dwelling place, that his name is upon that place or that house. And again, we know, you know, certain things already written in scripture, in the storehouses and such. But as the Lord calls you, Lord, and ask him, Lord, is your name on this place? Is this the dwelling place? An exchange that you would have me to give. So thank you, Lord, for that. And then, okay, let me keep going. And then he also showed me in the Passover, the when they went to Passover, celebrating what Christ did, right, and bringing, they were to rejoice and celebrate. The Passover is actually celebrating what Jesus did for them in Egypt, right? He passed over the, they put the blood on the doorpost, so they passed over. So then it says, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So that's another interesting. And I know in Corinthians 2, it says, do not give begrudgingly or out of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. So he wants it to be a free will offering. But those are some considerations there. And the seed, it blesses your entire family, your entire household, your inheritance, your family and your children, your possessions, all the things that you put your hands to do. God blesses those things when you bless him with what is produced by the work of your hands as well. Okay, so here, and it says, here's something else that money produces, because it's talking about a bribe. In Deuteronomy, so it says, do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe. For your bribe, this is what happens. So this is what, this is the opposite of what's like, but money produces this, because this is a bribe, right? This is in the negative form and not in the positive form, but this is producing of money, because that's what a bribe is. It blinds the eyes of the wise. I mean, you can pretty much just guarantee that's what's going to happen. If you take a bribe or offer a bribe, it blinds the eyes of the wise. That's what that money is going to produce from a bribe. It's going to blind the eyes of the wise, and it twists the words of the righteous. Interesting. That is what a bribe will produce. But that's money. So that's what money is. That's what that money, this particular money, that is given and sown into a way for bribery. The results of that are going to blind the eyes of the wise and to twist the words of the righteous. Okay, so that's it. That is what's happening there. Okay, let me see. Something here. Okay. All right. And once I have more, I will share more. So let me explain something here. You guys can, I know there's a couple people who maybe want to come back later. Hold on. So so speaking of justice, because it's saying love justice and justice alone, right after it talked about the bribery thing, a couple weeks ago in church service, one of the pastors is, he does a lot of stuff with like, justice, redemption in the city and all that jazz, or, you know, like the 3-mile radius from our church and working with other churches as well that do as well. But that's specifically his role and job within the church. And so they've been ministering to this school that has students, and the church has been going in there and ministering in different measures and different means. They did a sports camp over the summer. A lot of work they've been doing. Okay, it's not close to our house, so personally we have not been. Well, we did part of the last day of the sports camp thing. They do reading buddies. They just do different programs to help encourage these kids and go into the school and, you know, set things up for them. They've sowed a lot of seed there, a lot of prayer, even with the workers, the teachers, the principal, and getting a lot of groundwork done and getting into that school and praying. And God's just like opened doors by his grace, and again, fortitude of faith and prayer. It's exciting things. Well, so he was sharing an announcement at the beginning of the service. They and was going to pray, and so he said, like, hey, we're only going to pray for this one thing today. Should we pray for a lot of different things? Anyway, so he mentioned the school, that the school itself was being considered as, like, they were going to change the dynamics of it in the community and become like a magnet school or something of the sort, and maybe some of the kids were going to be scattered that were there. And he was just, I know his heart was for the children and the justice of them, and to keep them together and to keep implementing and imparting and instilling into them, right? Because that's his heart, because that's what God put in his heart. But as he was speaking, the Lord just, sometimes he does this thing where it just feels like at the top of my head, it just feels like an attic door just slides open, and he just starts speaking and giving me information of knowledge and wisdom when the other person is talking. So he's talking about the school, and we're going to pray for this. And as he's talking about the school, I think it was like even before he started praying, the Lord just started speaking to me and saying, that's not going to happen. Like, they're not going to necessarily. So he was saying they were going to go to the school meeting at a certain time that particular week, and was even inviting people from the church if they wanted to show up for the meeting to represent, yada, yada. And so the Lord was just showing me that the Lord was actually going to bring increase. Like, I don't know necessarily if the kids were going to be scattered. That was like his word, that they wouldn't be scattered, or they might be scattered. But the Lord was showing me that they might be. And if they are scattered, it's the Lord's way of bringing increase. It might not look like it initially, but God is bringing the increase. And then he literally in the moment reminded me of time when I asked for increase when we were doing an evangelistic outreach. And it didn't look like it was increased in the moment until the end of the day. I said something to the Lord, and the Lord said, that was increased. That wasn't what you were expecting, but that was the increase that I brought and what you asked for. And I was like, oh, okay. So it wasn't what I seen. I didn't understand it in my natural eye, but it was the Lord's way of bringing increase. So he was showing me, and I guess out of just a place of compassion and where I would understand in a deeper level, for this gentleman as well, it's that type of thing where you don't necessarily see it with your natural eye, but it's the God's working to bring increase. And I said to the Lord, I know this might sound like I had an attitude, but I didn't. I was just talking to the Lord, and I said, well, why don't you tell him? To the Lord, well, why don't you tell him? And the Lord said, because he's not going to see it like that. And that's when he showed me the thing. He said, he's not going to see it like that. And he's being faithful to the call and the deposit I put in his heart for justice and mercy for the people, that he's not going to see it as increase because he's so faithful to the call, and his heart, he's functioning out of that part of his heart, that it would be hard for him to hear or see something otherwise. You know, like, his heart was to fight for these kids out of the justice for them and the mercy for them. And so I was like, okay, well, like, that makes sense, you know. And then the Lord even gave me a passage, which was Psalm 121. And the first part of it is, looking to the Lord, where does our help come from? And then the very last part of it is that he preserves our ways and our going out and our coming in the same now and forevermore, which I might have prayed that at the beginning. And so I didn't know if I should, I don't know how this transpired next, but I know the meeting was coming up that particular day. I sent a note to him through a prayer group that we have at the church. And I said, hey, I'm just praying this verse, specifically the beginning and the ending, but all of it, but the beginning and the end. And I almost typed in there, hey, do you think we could have a chat? You know, because I knew there was more, and but I didn't. I didn't have a piece about it, so I just let go of it. I was like, well, I'm just going to give this verse because this will be evidence that the Lord had begun something, and that was resonant. And if something else comes up, I can always refer back to it, but that gives you know, evidence that God began something. So then I looked for him the next week. So a couple, 2 or 3 weeks had passed. I looked for him the next week in service to talk to him. I couldn't find him anywhere. So then, and they had the meeting, and then in the group chat, like, I didn't ask him anything. I felt like I wasn't supposed to ask him how the meeting went. I felt like I already knew. And then, you know, nothing really transpired of what the resolve was. It's still in process kind of a thing. And then someone said something about, like, this is our next step. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to pray that because I already know what God said, so I can't pray that. I already know what the Lord said. So then I went to corporate prayer on Thursday night or Thursday during the day, just last week, I think it was last week. And I said to the Lord at some point during that time, I said, Lord, okay, you know, if you want me to talk to him about this, you're just going to have to work it out. At some point, I just said that. I just kind of left it at the table and thought, that's it. I'm not making it fit or anything like that. I'm just moving on. So then when I ended up going to prayer, which they're just starting, and it's kind of like, at lunchtime, come and go as you please, right? So there was just a handful of people there at the front door. And I didn't see him at first, but he was sitting in the thing. And then he said to me, in front of the other two people, he said, hey, did the Lord give you a word for me? And I forgot all about it. Like, it was kind of off my radar. And when I walked in, and then I realized, like the Lord brought it back to me, and I said, oh my gosh, that's so bizarre that you would ask me. And I'm like, that's so fascinating. So then we went outside, sat on the porch, and I told him the word, and he just listened. And then he told me how everything transpired, and the word came to pass. And I think for whatever reason, the Lord used it in that manner to show him either how God specifically is working in his heart and that he is on track with what the Lord is doing. Because like he was saying, just the day before the Lord spoke to him about something. And then I was saying, yeah, I almost wrote. I said, I looked for you the week before. He goes, oh, no, no. He's like, that wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked if you would have told me beforehand. It just wouldn't have. So God was preparing him all along. And so it was just quite fascinating, quite interesting, and quite the Holy Spirit's encouragement as well for him and for me to just to see really, truly how incredibly accurate that was. Because at first I just thought it was a word of wisdom, which usually needs to be given quickly in the moment. So I thought maybe I lost it. Like I thought I lost the opportunity to share that it would be, it wouldn't be effective to bring it back up again. That's where I just thought I just gave it to the Lord, but it truly was, I guess, a word of knowledge and wisdom. And so anyways, that was just incredible. And then as I was talking, he was sharing more. And I said, there was one thing he was talking about, and I said, oh, the Lord just spoke this while you were sharing this, and I shared it with him. And he said, that's what this other man told him, the exact same thing this other man told him when he was in a prayer room in the city. So the Lord was just, I was like, wow, you have so much grace on your life that the Lord is confirming your way and speaking to you, you know, just have that assurance. And anyway, so that was rather cool. So God bless you all. And so we thank you, Lord, for your words that come forth, that they are fruitful, Lord, for the hearer, God, for those that you speak to, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that as we listen to you and we place even your words, God, even the special gifts of your words in the places that you would have us to speak or to teach or to reach or to just that assurance or pray, whatever it might be, Father, even in conversation, Lord, that can be so so much impartation just in conversation, Father God. We thank you for your graces upon that, Lord, and your mercy, God, and just the effectiveness of your living word and how it comes forth in the rhema form for people's life, Lord, to establish them, to ground them, to affirm them, God, of your presence and that you're there in the view of your circumference, Father God. We just thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, just for your full measure to come forth of your grace, Lord, and your purposes and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's open the first phone line. God bless you. Good evening, 828-989.
Hi, Deborah. It's Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer.
How
praise
you?
God. Good. How are you doing? Good.
Good.
Good. Well, let me pray for you. Thank you for joining us. So, Father, I thank you for Jennifer, Lord. I just lift her up to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for just even the faith of every believer, Lord, that's listening. Father, I thank you for your encouragement and your guidance for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. But Lord, I thank you again for Jennifer, God, how she stands firm in your ways, Lord, in Jesus' name. And sometimes standing in the Lord, sometimes, you know, we can be weary, where the word says not to grow weary, but we can be weary, but we're still standing. So sometimes standing looks in different forms and shapes, and even with obstacles, we're still standing, even if it's one foot and you're keeping your balance, whatever it might be, that you're standing, because you know where to look. You know, the banner, when they had banners of the Lord, you know, that the banners were lifted up high so they could see where to go in their time of need. You know, when the battle got a little too hectic or rough, they just looked up and they could see the banner and where they needed to go, and even help each other, point each other to the banner and to that direction. So we thank you, Father God. Lord, you're just leading Jennifer and leading other people, Lord, to look up and to view that banner, Father God. And the design that you've given her is very specific, and causing people to look up and to find that resting place for their spirit and for their souls, in Jesus' name. And any obstacles that they might be struggling or going through in the battle, in Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you again. By design, there's a by design and the banner, God, and the calling and the placement and the looking up, Lord, and the encouragement, Father. We thank you, Lord, just for, you know, I don't know if it's like a little troop or a little tribe of people that, that will be ministered to by the design of the Lord, how he's designed specifically, designed you, again, to cause people to look to the Lord, you know, and find their refuge in him and to be secure and to find themselves standing and remaining and to be steadfast, because he is himself is steadfast with his loving kindness and tender mercies, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father God, just for your guidance, Lord, in Jesus' name. And even having the ability to recognize, like, for other people, like, on the field, like, hey, this is a battle, like, you need to get out, I mean, like, You need to take refuge now before you get wounded or before it goes too far, recognizing, like, to be able to draw people out to go back to look to the Lord, like, hey, this is, I recognize this battle, you know, and if you keep going, this is not going to be, you know, fruitful or good or sustainable for your spirit and your soul. So, so I thank you, Lord, for using Jennifer in such a way and in such a manner, in Jesus' name. And then also, there's a light of a flame and helping others light their flame too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your care, Father God, in Jesus' name. Okay, hold on. Thank you, Lord. So something in that flame is, you know, there's oil in the carrier of it, and it is sustainable. Is sustainable for one, like intended and sustainable for one, but also there's some type of like I don't know the right word of not necessarily like I was going to say teaching or equipping, but those don't feel like the right word, although those could be elements to it, but of helping other people to light their flame as well. So, oh, you know, it's it might be trimming the wick a little bit, trimming the wick so their flame, their light can produce and stay sustained longer. And that is more it, because of even the resting and pulling, going under the banner is a place to sustain and to, you know, in some sense, refuel and restock. So even the light that comes forth has to do with being under that banner and just instructing them in the ways of the Lord for the purposes of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of confirmation. Yeah.
Very cool.
The word he's really been ministering to me lately is stand tall, reach, you know, don't be moved. That's interesting. But yeah, it's confirmation.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty wild. Yeah. There's something on, like, so, you know, I was saying, like, a little troop or, you know, yeah, I suppose, you know, a little troop or a little tribe, but a grouping of people that you're designed to even call them to look up, you know.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Emma.
Thank you, Lord.
Because sometimes,
thank you, Lord.
Maybe, I don't know what you were going to say, but I don't want to interrupt you if you were going to say something. I was just going to say, sometimes we, you know, like we were going to church on Sunday and the neighbors across the street, just the way our houses are, if I go outside and even bring the dog out there, they have like a Ring doorbell or whatever one of those surveillance doorbells are. I don't know if it's Ring specifically, but So I know every time I go out front, I'm sure I'm coming up on their radar with their doorbell, you know. And so, which is fine. Like most of the time I don't think of it, but we were going to church on Sunday, and I was telling my husband, I said, you know, every time we go to church and they see us leaving on Sunday, like with a little bit nicer clothes, somewhat, you know, not always, but sometimes. And, you know, but at the same time on Sunday and getting in the car, you know, like that is a testimony to them, even though we're not running into them, we're not seeing them. Do you know what I mean? But at Christmas, you know, and giving them, you know, we gave everyone a card with a little story of the Lord in there, and then a popcorn tin, you know, so they know where we stand. So it's interesting. I say all that to say, you know, you sow those seeds and people just see your faithfulness week after week after week, right? It's unchanging. And then sometimes when they have a need or something comes up, the Lord uses, puts that in their remembrance. Oh, Jennifer seeks the Lord. I'm going to go ask her, like they'll confide in you all of a sudden, you know, and it just deepens this friendship and it opens a door because something's already unlocked in their hearts and their minds to find resolution, to find answers, you know. And so it's interesting how the Lord can bring people out of the woodwork, so to speak, but there are things that you planted long ago and out of our faithfulness, then they return to that place. And then we, you know, so whatever your design is, like, cause literally it was designed, you were designed to help people look up, you know?
Yeah. Well, wow. Yeah, that really spoke to me. Like, that has been the message for the past week or two. So I was doing a little bit of studying this past weekend on Stand and, you know, Heights. He just keeps, like, showing me ladders, like, giraffes, you know, with long necks, brontosaurus with long neck, stuff like that. And you've definitely been getting my attention.
Hmm.
Wow.
Very good.
Wow.
Very cool. Thank you, Lord. That's encouraging.
Yes, it is. The confirmation's always good. You know that you're hearing from him.
Yeah. So how are you doing? What is going on with you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, today's been unusual. Just felt kind of, I don't want to say gloomy, but just, I don't know, not weary, restless maybe, and feeling like I'm not doing enough for him. And, you know, your word spoke to me because I was recalling a message that I got, I think it was last week, from, you know, just makes me realize that people are watching, and even though, you know, they don't, they're just, people are watching. The Lord just keeps reminding me of that. People are watching my walk with him. So even that was confirmation. But I think I'm just ready to be doing more. And so I get, you know, it's just patience and waiting on him and receiving directions, steps, opening doors, things like that. But he's been, I think, today really ministering to me about receiving love which I obviously have time doing. I'm more of a giver. I like to give love, but it's harder for me to receive it. So he's been kind of ministering to me about that a little. So, but everything is going pretty good. No complaints. It's a beautiful day, and just taking in all his beauty and seeing him and everything, and just very appreciative for what he's done for me and what I know he's going to do, and I keep looking up. Keep looking to him. Not to man, not to the arm of flesh, but to him. Trust in him, and he will not fail. And his word will not come back void. And he's faithful and true, and he doesn't change, you know. So he's a steady support.
Yes, and we're yoked to him, and to and we can find rest in him. Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of, you know, the Lord, the festivals and celebrations that the Israelites had, and the Lord even commanded celebrations and festivals for the people was, and a lot of times, I mean, in the times that they had to celebrate and in the rejoicing and the praise offerings, even in the things that were commanded with them and the times and the seasons, right, that they were to acknowledge, they were acknowledging that it was the Lord that brought them out of Egypt. Like he was the one who did the work and he performed it and he led them and he accomplished all of that. And he was literally leading them, right? He went before them, behind them, hemming them in, and his hand of blessing was upon them. So he kept saying, like, you're completely in my circumference. I want you to rejoice. It was important for them to rejoice so that their minds wouldn't go back to slavery thinking, you know? So they literally, the Lord wanted them to rejoice knowing that they could rest in what was already done and God could continue to accomplish. And it wasn't going to be according to their works, you know. And their celebrating and praising and rejoicing was very significant for that purpose and that purpose alone, so that they wouldn't become, they wouldn't grow weary in doing good or think that they were the ones that were having to do it, go back to doing it themselves when God had already done it for them. And that's the real huge significance for them and their celebration to the Lord. And I think as, you know, we live out, we need to remember that. What are the things that the Lord would want me to rejoice in and want me to celebrate, you know? And because I think sometimes even the cares of life can weigh us down at times, you know? And, but the things that the Lord would rejoice in and the work that he's done, like our last anniversary, I was a little, we went to the mountains, you know, for the weekend, and I was a little bit like, oh, should we really go and not spend, should we really spend the money or not spend the money? Lord, you know, I just didn't want to do anything, you know. Didn't want to overextend us and then be sorry later, like that kind of thing, you know? And so, I mean, that was my honest thought. And so the Lord was just showing me, you know, that he, the Lord rejoices in the love that we have for each other and that he wants us, you know, not to be, I mean, still being prudent and wise with our finances, right? Not just like blowing it to the wind or anything. But like if there was, if we even spent a little more on a dinner or whatever, you know, the weekend, that like he was okay with it. Like this was a time for us to celebrate and rejoice in our covenant that God has established and the love that God has given, and the Lord was just showing me that he rejoices over that, and I have the freedom to rejoice and celebrate and just let go and really celebrate the fact that we're acknowledging our anniversary and spending time together and grow, you know, and doing whatever, you know, whatever we had planned for that time away. So I think, and even for myself, you know, just that part of receiving, okay, I'm going to fully receive, fully rejoice, fully, so how can I fully celebrate this and fully rejoice, you know, and even thinking about Easter coming up, you know, I know some people don't like to even call it Easter. However, but just like, how can I fully rejoice in that and rest in and acknowledging, you know, truly what the Lord did for me, you know, where it just begins to really sink into the fabric and all the crevices in my soul, you know, of what Christ did by being yoked, you know, and in doing so, I'm being yoked to him, you know, and I'm learning from him, as this word even tells us, that is why we're yoked to him, is to learn from him, you know?
Yes, yes. Mm.
Yeah, that
Thank
might
you,
even
Jesus.
Be a good, yes, that might even be a good prayer as I said that, and just asking the Lord in the moment, how can I learn from you in this moment? Like, what do you want to teach me, you know? What can I learn from you?
Mm-hmm.
In this yeah. moment. So thank you, Lord. This is a new way to explore the one we believe in, to know the one in whom we came to believe in, right?
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mm.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. So praise God. Do you have any prayer requests?
No, not tonight. I don't think I'll let you get on with the rest of your callers so they can all be encouraged and hear from the Lord. But I just appreciate you, and it just really confirmed a lot that the Lord's doing. Praise God.
Yes, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your ways, Lord, and just imparting, Lord, your presence and just the flow of your living waters, Father, that come forth, mm-hmm. Father. We thank you, Lord, for the confirmation that is refreshing, the refreshing confirmation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, that was even confirmation. You had me taking a lot of pictures of we got a lot of rain here, and the streams are just really flowing. And so he's been really ministering to me about that. So thank you, Jesus.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Thank you, Lord. Wow.
That's thank very you. Cool. You're welcome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining
Amen.
Us. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good week. Okay, take care. Okay, callers. I have, if you would like prayer ministry, just raise your little hand. That's what I see over here is a little hand. So it's just one on your keypad. Anytime you would like, you can press one on your keypad. And I'll open up your phone line. Thank you. We don't have any callers tonight, which that's okay too. God is good. He is faithful. He is gracious. Thank you, Lord. Let me see if I have any other notes in my prayer book. Oh, let's answer this call.
So, whoa, 972-365. I think this is Rhonda.
Yes, ma'am, it is, and I'm at work, so it's a little noisy.
Yeah, I hear that, but God bless you. How can we minister to you, or would you like to minister to the people?
I wanted to get prayer tonight for both of my daughters. Today is my oldest daughter's birthday. Her name is Ashley. And then for also my youngest daughter, her name is Alyssa. And then my stepson, his name is Xavier. He's in the process of taking another job position, so I wanted to get prayer for our kids tonight, Ashley, Alyssa, and Xavier.
Okay, for sure. I'd be happy to pray with them. Let me mute your phone line so that you can, you don't have to feel compelled at work to do, and then I'll come back to you if you're able to talk. So, okay, thank you. That's funny that our kids' names are so close together. That's pretty wild. Just added kindred spirit here. So, Father God, we thank you for Rhonda and her husband's. Lord, we thank you for their children. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up Ashley, Alyssa, and Xavier, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for blessing them. We thank you, Lord, for the seeds, even in your word, Lord, as the seeds that Rhonda has sown that bless the generations, Lord, that bless the sons and the daughters and the generation, God, and bringing them into their inheritance, Father God, and walking in the ways, instilling and imparting the ways of the Lord in them, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Ashley, Lord. We know all of heaven rejoices at her birth, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for just the joy and the celebration. Lord, even in that, in birth and in life, and in love, God, just enjoying her as a person, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that she would feel special, Lord, and connected to you and to her family, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for just knitting that foundation and making her into a pillar, Lord, as in Psalm 144 says, Lord. I pray this over both of her daughters, Lord, and her son. Actually, Psalm 144 uncovers that the men would grow up as plants, green leaves and plants. I had to look this up. And that the girls would be in palace style. Let me look this up. I'm getting the words confused. That our daughters, 12, oh, 12, yeah, that our sons, that their sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and their daughters may be as pillars sculpted in palace style. Father, could we thank you for that, and that their barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. Thank you, Father. So 12 and 13, Psalm 144. 12 and 13. So we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the things that you're establishing, for the things that you are growing and placing even in Alyssa's life, Father, in Jesus' name. It seems like a foundation where she steps. The foundations are like mending, and the steps that she's taking, like there was like a crack, but the Lord mending the steps of the foundation. For Alyssa and her steps, we thank you for it, God. We thank you for your provisions and making supply, God, by your great grace, Lord, for both Ashley and Alyssa, Father, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for even being with Ashley, Lord, as the bride of Christ, not that wouldn't apply to both of them, but and teaching her, Father, that you are her provider and sustainer and her guide, Lord, and that you, as in Psalm 16, for Ashley, that the Lord offers his, you know, right hand and pleasures evermore, that is the gentleman, the essence of a gentleman to his bride with respect, honor, and how he guides and instructs with purpose and intention, but, you know, very gentle and with respect. So we thank you, God, for just for that example and establishing that relationship is there as well. And Xavier, I think you might have said he's looking for a job, I think. You said we thank you, Lord, that as he's asking, seeking, and knocking, that you would open the right doors for him, Father God. We thank you for placing people on his path, Lord, just as Rhonda has sown many seeds to be faithful in others' lives in her workplace. Let it be so, Father God, that altar that she's built, Lord, let it reap for her children as well, God, and for Xavier, Lord. And we pray for favor to be granted to him in the workplace and on his resume as well, Father God, in any interviewing. Lord, we thank you for leading him with the peace of God as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I hate that it's loud, but I wanted to share something real fast with you. Friday, my husband went into the bank to take care of some business, and my husband is a police officer, a federal police officer, but he went to the drive-thru to put the money in through the ATM. He said, but something told him to go on the inside. He said, so when he went on the inside, it was an older white gentleman just walked up to him and started showing him. He said, I want to show you what happened to me yesterday. He said, God is good. God is good. So he began to show my husband a picture where him and his wife was driving, and a truck hit a rod because we had bad weather here, and the rod went through the window of the car and went in between the seats of the guy and his wife. And it didn't hit either one of them. So he was just rejoicing and praising God. And it was other people in the bank. So I don't know why he walked up to my husband, but they was just rejoicing and praising God. And he told my husband, he said, let me have your phone number. I want to send you these pictures, because my husband was like, I'm going to tell this testimony to my family and everybody that I know that I be on the prayer lines with. So he sent him the number.
Wow.
So it was a young black guy in line behind my husband. He started yelling and he started cursing and he was saying all this profanity to my husband, to the man, about God and everything. He said it was sad. And he said a guy was like, oh, we're going to take care of y'all when we get outside. But the older guy just kept saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Like, he was like, that was his whole conversation to the guy, God bless you. And he said a guy kept telling him, you get in my face, I'm gonna do something to you. He said he just kept saying, God bless you, God bless you. So the man left out of the bank, and my husband was still in there with the guy that was the aggressor. So he said the aggressor started saying all this hateful stuff toward him. And he said a guy was on the phone with somebody outside and was just saying, you know, all this profanity. And he said, yeah, he in here hugging on this guy and all this stuff and just every other word of curse word. He said, when he come outside, you make sure you take care of him. So my husband said he just threw his hands up in the air and just started praising God and just started laughing. He said, because the other man had left out the bank. So he said when he got outside, he said he got ready to go outside, and God told him, hold up. So when he did go outside, he seen there were three other guys in the car. And he said he thought it was weird that they were on the phone conversating with each other while the other one was in the bank. So when he started telling me, I immediately said, well, maybe they went there to rob that bank. And because you and that gentleman was in there having a conversation, y'all interfered with what he wanted to do, because he probably wanted to come in and come out before, you know, anything. But he was saying when he came out, he said the Lord told him, don't walk to his car, just keep walking. He said, so when he did, he said one of the guys was laughing in the car. The other guy was still cursing. He said, but when he walked by that car, he felt something real dark, like death was in that car. So he said he went walked past the car, and they got in their car and sped off. And he said he got in his car. He was going to try to get their license plate, but they left. But I told him, I said, when he was telling me about it, I said, I think God sent you there because they went there to rob that bank. And he planned on running in there and being on the phone and telling everybody in the car that was going to come in, you know, who I was in there and what to do. Because he said they parked, like, right there directly in front. And he said their behavior was just very odd. And I said, God used that man to come in there. I said, that man could have been an angel. He said he used that man to come in there to almost distract what was going on. And he knew you was going to be at that bank that day, and he knew you was a believer. And anytime you hear somebody share their testimony, you're going to rejoice, you know, and conversate with them. But he said he felt such a burning sensation in his heart when that guy was, because he was saying all this ugly stuff about God and just profanity, and my husband was like, you know, just mouth just open. But he said, you know, when that guy was in there, he said his heart was just, like his chest was burning, like something had kicked him in the chest. And he had called and he had shared it with me and my daughters. We were all on three-way, and he was telling us. And I said, maybe you thwarted the plans of the enemy to come in there and rob that bank. I said, he might have came in there to, you know, actually do harm to people. I said, because if he was yelling and cursing, and he said he just had so much anger in him. He said everybody in there got scared. The people were like letting him go before them. And just he said it was horrible. But I just wanted to share that because I was like, you know, someone had prayed for my husband one time, and they said they see him being a police officer in the spirit realm as well as in the physical realm. So when he was faced with that, you know, it kind of threw him off. You know, he was crying when he was telling us the man's testimony and then what happened. But he was also, you know, rejoicing that God, you know, saved that man and his wife's life, because I think they could have been in their 50s or 60s. But he was sharing his testimony. But when that guy came in and started saying all of that stuff, it, like, put him, like, in another whole place. And he was like, Lord, what is going on? So I just wanted to share that, Sister Deborah, and thank you for praying.
Absolutely. Wow, that's incredible. And I like that, a police officer in the spirit and in the natural. I really like that. So, yeah, that is, wow. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, there was something, shenanigans they were planning that was going on. Yeah, that's, wow. Thank you, Lord, for interrupting that. Wow. Taking authority over that in the spiritual and in the natural. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for sharing that testimony. It's a privilege to pray for
you
and your family.
Thank you for allowing me to share it. Thank you. God bless you.
Absolutely. God bless you too. Bye-bye. Wow, very cool. Actually, speaking of when she said, and I'll open your phone line 251 in a minute, but John was showing me a house. A friend of his builder had built a house not too far from here, but it's down one of the streets where some of the older homes are that have been in the neighborhood for quite some time. And some of them are trailers and some of them are homes, fixed homes or whatever you call them, secured homes or whatever. And but we went down the street, and there's only one way. You go down the street, and you have to go through the cul-de-sac and then out again. But at the end of the cul-de-sac, people had a lot of stuff at the end of the street. Like, I don't know what was going on there. But so he couldn't just completely turn around in the cul-de-sac. We had to do like a three-point turn. And one of the guys came out, and he was on the porch. And I mean, talk about in your gut having a feeling of death. And I told my husband, I was just inside, I'm thinking, move, get this car moving, like slam it like a Starsky and Hutch thing. I'm thinking like slam this thing in reverse, get us going, you know, to accelerate. I just had the worst, I mean, in my spirit, there was like this death, and it was just a really bad, I told him, I don't ever want to go down that street again. And a couple of years ago, which is really odd for our particular area, in this particular part of the city that we moved to, we lived in the same city, but we moved in what I call the wing of the city, like on the very outskirts of the city now. And so there's older parts of the home and then newer. So it's like very, I don't know, how do you say it? It's a mix of both, you know, the older with some of the new and then the mid kind of a thing, you know, and how the city is like trying to get more built up, like they're trying to build a grocery store at this end now and yada, yada, you know, I don't know how long it'll take. But then, so anyway, so there's just a mix at this end of town, and it's very clear, like the mix is, it's very clear. And so, Oh my gosh, I just forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, oh, so a couple of years ago, and near that particular street, there's a little there's a little bridge. They actually found and when it was on the news, there was a woman's body. She was dead. She was thrown from a car, and they found her under the bridge. And they didn't identify her as being a citizen from this area or a resident from this area. So they were showing pictures where she had a couple tattoos, like on her shoulder and on her wrist or something. And if anyone recognized her, which was very disturbing that she wasn't a resident from this area, but somehow they think she was thrown from a vehicle. And I don't think the impact killed her. I'm thinking she died prior to, and someone drove through and just dumped her. But it was right outside, right near that street that we were on. So it's just whatever that area was, and I think they discovered and whatever. But this is why, too, friends, that you live in the area that you're in, that God places you there so that you can pray and intercede. And again, I know I say this a lot, but God is a God of justice. And when you pray that his justice to come swiftly, especially if it's in your local news in your area, that things to come into the light and justice to be, and to pray over that, that is the heart of God. He moves and he stirs, and he doesn't like that either, you know? So just be praying when you hear and know those things, that they come into the light, that the person, you know, makes obvious mistakes, you know, or errors, that that they're caught and justice is done swiftly. Or, you know, in Rhonda's case with her husband, you know, it's interrupted. It's interrupted and everyone's kept safe. So praise God for that. Okay. 251-229. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi. Good evening. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Oh, hey, Sarah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Thank you. Well, it's good to hear your voice tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we thank you for Sarah, Lord. We just lift her up, Father, before your throne, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. And I just see the light of the Lord. And so this is different because it's like this is light, like an accent type of light that you would have so that like so that if it was like in a room to, and not just ambiance, but that would be one word, but so like as an accent type of lighting so that like I'm not really good at this, but when people decorate with lighting, like it's very warm and very welcoming and very inviting, and you don't even really realize it, but like you want to be in that room or near that room, and it's not just, but like the lighting has a way of being very inviting. So I see that like around you, just this light that is very inviting for other people even, right? Because we're always a testimony to be a light, salt and light. Even the establishment of your relationship with the Lord that is warm and inviting and welcoming has established that sense of light and atmosphere and ambiance, if you will, for other people as well. Because truly we reflect his light. And if this is what's being established and in through your fellowship with him, then praise the Lord, you would carry that as a reflection as well to other people. So we thank you, Lord, just for the warmth and the invitation, Lord, of your light that is surrounding Sarah, Father, in Jesus' name. And it's like really your whole person. So like from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. So it's not just a light on a specific thing. It's really like almost like a It's all around you. Okay, so it's just, yeah, sometimes it's hard to explain what I see, but thank you, Lord, just for your fellowship and how you establish that. Jesus' name, Lord, and how you use it, Father, in this world, Lord, how you are using it in this world, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Even, Lord, thank you as well for the activation of your ways. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And the adapting, like to adapting. You know, sometimes like when there's change, I don't know if you've ever had a team meeting. Sometimes when things get changed, like people have a certain reaction, but they're really, it's because they don't like change. And it sounds like they're mad or something, but they're not really mad. They're just, that's how they don't like change, but it takes time for them to adapt. So there might be some adapting. So this adapter and adapting and, so, and I'm not saying, I'm saying you help other people adapt, like you're an adapter, you know, where people can plug into you and you help them adapt to what's happening while being a light all along in this, you know, that's very inviting and welcoming and with warmth, you know, and sometimes we don't see a lot of that really. I mean, there's, and I think before, I don't know if I gave you a word about the kindness of the Lord, but there is, we don't see a lot of that in the world right now because people are upset, it seems like, and in turmoil and troubled. Just about so many different things like that. And they have so many different opinions about many things that are going around, not only in this nation, but in Ukraine, Syria, Israel, you know, and politically, you know, there's so many things that are at unrest that people are not adapting. They don't have that place where they can have ease and warmth and welcome. So it's very endearing and really a treasure when people can plug into that and adapt themselves to a place of ease, and again, and just receiving the light of the Lord, but not in such a way where they feel like, although the Lord does have a way of revealing things in our hearts and our minds, right? Because the Word says it is, it does do that. It reveals the thoughts and intents of our hearts, but the light is not necessarily in a way where it is. Like an interrogation type of light, you know, where it's too much for the person. Anyways, it's just very, it's very good. Again, almost really people could step into it because they feel so invited and so welcomed and not even realize later, like, oh, that's the lighting. It wasn't just her warm smile, while those things are attributes, but and then they discover later. But again, it's cool that other people can plug into what you're offering them in the spirit and be and adapt to that. So that's cool too. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, I receive it. I receive it. I thank the Lord for that word. I really do. And I'm so excited because it's the light of God, you know, that's shining. And then if it makes other people feel comfortable, you know, and not too overbearing or not too much, and they can feel the love of God coming from off of me, then that's exactly what, you know, I want to give off is the love of God. And
Yes. Amen. And that's a good word, not overbearing. I like that. That is, yes. That is, you stated it better than I did. So praise God.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I, and that's what I started doing. I started praying, Lord, may there be more of you and less of me. May you increase while I decrease. So it's not too much, you know. It's just right. His love, and may He have all the honor, power, and glory. That I can give off, that He puts in me. So I receive it. I receive it.
Yes, praise God. Yes, it is awesome.
Yeah, and we need more of the Lord's light, because in this world, with so much going on, you know, and so many people going through things financially and mentally, physically, everything, all in a big, just everything going on. And you can feel sometimes the stress and pressure that another person may feel, another group. And then when you can share the love of the Lord to them, or let them feel it coming off of you and raining from the inside to the outside, that the Lord's presence is in you, then that makes them feel comfortable around you. In a group setting, especially like at the job or something like that, or just in general, meeting people. So that's exciting,
yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. Sarah, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, but do you have the gift of evangelism?
I've heard. People have always told me, asking, do you have the gift of that as well as healing or something? And I was like, okay.
You've heard that spoken over you. Yeah, because even when you were talking about it and describing it, I was like, it sounds like you have a heart to evangelize. Like, yeah, it's just the way you were describing it. I was like, oh, I don't recall ever talking about it before. We may have maybe. In the past, but I didn't recall. And so I was like, well, I'm going to ask her, because it just seemed so suited and fitted the way that you were saying it. So.
Well, I receive it. If it's there, I just want more of it.
Yeah.
I know my head brain. When I pray for others, like, for instance, if I'm going to pray for you tonight or something like that in return, it just flows. You know, the Lord acts, the Lord, you know, and it just flows, the words that He gives me to say and everything with the prayer. It just flows. Yeah. So
that's beautiful. Okay, now grab my pen. Go ahead and pray for me, Sarah, and then I'll pray for you if you have a prayer request.
Okay. Well, dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are admonishing you, Father God, and thank you for the word, Father God, on tonight. Thank you, Father God, for the prophetic word that went through to the prophetess, Father God, that she may continue to spread your light, Father God, to the others that are on the phone line that's working, that she may work with them to share your light, to share your abundance that's flowing out of her to the rest of the people on the phone lines. And I thank you, Father God, not only for that, but for paying the send it, Father God, for all of us that are on the phone lines and all the prophets and prophetess that's on TGN, just shining your light, Father God. And once you do that and everything, Father God, we admonish you, Father God, because you didn't have to do it, but you did. And I thank the Lord for you blessing the prophetess with the being a Proverbs 31 woman, Father God, walking in your will and your way. Father God, when she's on the prayer lines, when she's ministering to others and going forth in your prophetic word, Father God, which you have bestowed upon her, Father God, to the rest of the world and other people that need healing, loving, and also, Father God, you being able to show them the way to your perfect light, Jesus, which is in you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I receive it. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wrote as fast as I could. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you for blessing me with your prayer, your prophetic prayer. Thank you. I receive it in Jesus' name. And do you have any prayer requests this evening yourself?
Well, yeah, just for my daughter, Leah. She hasn't been doing too well. And I think it's pretty much just over some her studies. So I'm just praying for her physical and mental health as well, because it may be stress from coming, you know, from schooling and things of that nature. So just pretty much that altogether. Yeah.
Okay. So, Father, we thank you for Leah, Lord, and we thank you for Sarah as well, God, and just it, really all the listeners, Lord, and all of PGN. Father, and the blessing that it is on earth as it is in heaven. God, we ask, Lord, that you place upon Leah your peace, Father God, and your presence, Lord. We thank you for your wisdom and your assurance, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Lord, whatever she is carrying, Lord, if there's be stress or tension, concern, Lord, that she would roll that upon you, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, that you would give her discerning of what the knowledge that she's acquiring, God, and the wisdom as she seeks that wisdom, Lord, to retain and to recall and to retrieve. Father, that you would bless the work of her hands, Lord, that she would also reason with you in all things, God, inviting your presence into whatever class, whatever subject it might be, God, that you are the creator of it all, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for just administering ways for her to, again, whether it's writing, recalling, studying techniques, essay, words, verbiage, whatever it might be, Lord. We ask that she calls upon you, Father God, and that she doesn't just swallow it and stuff it, Father God, but that you would bring it, Lord. She would bring it to the table as she fellowships with you, God, and that you, Lord, that she would make that an offering, Lord, for you to walk through her with those things. Just like, you know, as I was saying that, you know, there's different inventors and creators who actually just ponder. They would work on different formulas and, you know, things, and they couldn't get it, but they knew, you know, like electricity, Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein, you know, they would just work on the method, knowing that they could put something was to fit together and working at it. And then they would take a time to rest and just enjoy nature, or just allow, again, that resting time, getting away from being in front of the work, and then the truth, you know, a few of them were gave evidence. Einstein did, I think, that it would just bubbled up inside of him when he walked away, and then he came back and or he wrote it, jotted it down in the moment. And so, Lord, we know that you can speak, Lord, that even the evidence of that bubbling up, Lord, with intelligence really is the spirit, as your word even gives evidence to, I think it's Nava, prophetic, the truth just comes bubbling up inside, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that Leah would not suppress any of the truth, Lord, but she would be able to express it to you, Father God, and to cultivate, Lord, just cultivate the healing and processing even her emotions, her stress, everything that's needed, Lord, even with Sarah and in prayer, God, and that you are a God of solutions, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for making provision, Make every wisdom of provision on Leah's behalf, God. And we thank you for blessing her, God, even if it's a dream or she awakens to a truth, God, or just before she falls asleep is the truth bubbles up, Father God. Whenever it is, Lord, we thank you that she captures it, Lord, and applies it, and that you would cause it to be fruitful and for it to be flourishing in her life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I thank the Lord for you, and I thank the Lord for your prayers.
Well, thank you. Likewise. Thank you. Likewise, I feel the same way about it. Yes, may he continue to bless you and your household as well. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank
Wonderful
you.
Having
Thank
you here.
You.
Okay, bye-bye. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's a we are done, I believe. It's a short evening. So thank you for your faithfulness and your joining us here this evening. We'll see you next week, and God bless you. And may you just be embraced, and your faith is enduring and precious to me, and I know more so to the Lord, but thank you for sharing it here in this place and in this hour with us. So God bless you all. Take care. Bye-bye.